As far as the news is concerned, there has been so much. I mean, my wife made a comment to me. She said you could virtually take any of the papers and you could give an entire news analysis on just one paper. There's that many things that are pertinent and that do, in fact, fit within the prophecies today. I know that this particular cutting here, this is from a comment by Mark Stein in the Telegraph on the 20th. Of December, just a few days ago, and he's talking about the racism, why it's so destructive, and talking about, he says, the cause of the Sydney riots lies in the failure of the Lebanese to assimilate. And he basically says, after 9/11, a friend in London said to me that she couldn't stand all the American needs to ask itself what it did to provide this anger stuff, all in as one word, because she used to work at a rape crisis centre, and she heard this blame the victims routine far too often. The great Satan, like the dolly bird, is the low-cut top and miniskirt which was asking for it. Even so, it's still a surprise to hear the multicultural apologists apply the arguments to actual rape victims. But he goes on, and he basically talks about, he says, what's the deal with these riots in Sydney? He says, you switch on the television, and there's a scene of urban conflagration, and scenes, and you think, hang on, I saw this story last month, but no, they were French riots, and these are Australian riots. So, in fact, it seems to be around the world there are problems here. And his solution within this analysis is that, well, the Lebanese and so on, they need to go ahead and integrate. And what's the problem? Why don't they just go ahead and integrate with, if you know, you find yourself in a certain country, therefore why don't they just go ahead and integrate within the country? And one article which I had actually from the internet, which I forgot to bring with me because I forgot to print it out, and I remembered on the way in, it actually does an analysis of the Australian race riots. And in that analysis it talks about the reason why the whole thing started anyway, and it was because of a rape perpetrated by a Muslim. And in his defense, the Muslim basically said, well, you know, this woman wasn't wearing a veil. She's, you know, therefore, obviously, nothing to do with Islam, therefore there's no problem. And this was a Pakistani view. And it is a case that on the beaches of Australia, this time of year particularly, the women go around with virtually nothing on. And because going around with virtually nothing on, this is an absolute affront to the Muslim mind as far as women is concerned, and they're not treated as anything else but whores. And this clash of cultures, now this basically, when it comes to the self-delusion, why don't they just go ahead and become integrated? Why don't they just become an Australian? Why don't they just become French? Why don't they just become British? And what really doesn't seem to sink in is that the difference, the enormous difference between the Muslim mind and the British mind and the Western mind. No, I wouldn't say British mind, the Western mind today. Another one here, this was from the 23rd, and it says, you know, just yesterday, it says, a husband and wife who dedicated their lives to helping African children were murdered in cold blood by Islamic terrorists, an inquest heard yesterday. Now, this says, Dick and Edith Ironington were watching television at their house in Somaliland when a terrorist linked to Al-Qaeda shot them. The couple were considered infidels by their attackers, who wrongly believed that they were trying to convert Africans to Christianity. And it goes on, Detective Chief Inspector Jill Bailey told the hearing that last month four men, including Muhammad Ali Essu, who fired the AK-47, had been convicted of murder and sentenced to death by firing squad. And the terrorists shouted Allah Akbar, which is God is great, after being sentenced and are still awaiting execution. Miss Bailey said that the men were part of a terrorist cell called Ittihad, which had killed an Italian nun a week earlier. She also said that Essar's brother-in-law, and it gives his name, who owned the house in which Essar was captured, could also have links to Al-Qaeda. A plan to blow up an Ethiopian airliner and bomb-making manuals were uncovered during the investigation, and the defendants did not recognize their actions as crimes. Now, this is a big point. They do not see these things as crimes in any way. It says, Miss Bailey said that they felt justified in murdering infidels who they believed were offending Muslim fundamentalism. And there is this huge clash between Muslim fundamentalism on one hand and what we see within the Western world on the other. And it is this enormous cultural difference that we are seeing unfold, and it is not just going to go away. And you know, you go through the papers and you can just pick out one story after another. Another one, 21st of this month. Al-Qaeda suspect jailed over plot to blow up a plane. An Al-Qaeda suspect was jailed for 6 years yesterday after being convicted by a non-jury court in Belfast, and goes on about this particular individual. Muslim planned revenge, another headline, this is on the 23rd. Muslim planned revenge attacked on brave corporal. A Muslim who planned to hunt down and kill a soldier that had won the military cross in Iraq was yesterday found guilty of terrorism offences. This individual from South London was found with a balaclava and blank firing pistol being converted into live rounds in his flat when his flat was raided by police, and along with inflammatory videos of rebels attacking troops in Iraq, a newspaper article describing this particular individual, and it goes on, this particular mindset. In an analysis by Charles Moore, this is on the 10th of this month, he starts to describe the difference between the Muslim mindset and the, quote, Christian mindset. And he says, I'm looking at a book called What Every Christian Should Know About Islam, published by the Islamic Foundation. So far as I know, it presents an orthodox account of Muslim belief, and it says that Muhammad was probably illiterate, and that the Quran was therefore dictated by him from memory after he had received it in visions. It's not his teaching. It is the unmediated word of God. Now, that's what they believe in the Quran. The Holy Quran, in quotes, differs from any other religious text in that it is not written or edited by any human author. No word has been added to or subtracted from it, and what this means is that all Muslims, notice all Muslims, not just one or two, but all Muslims, are what we call fundamentalist. Now here is this class of culture. You're looking at the fundamentalist Christians being kind of denigrated within the Western world, but when you're looking at Muslims, all Muslims are fundamentalists because of their belief, the way that the fundamentals of Islam are viewed within the, you know, as far as the Quran. In a way that, it says, fundamentalist, in a way that no Christian, not even the most literalist, can quite be. One man, the prophet, was given the perfect truth in one form, and so the truth and the form are absolute. To question the status of the Quran as described from above is to insult God. Now this is where your satanic verses come in. I mean, satanic verses didn't say anything about the Quran. The satanic verses was a parody on it. A parody on Muhammad, and it was a fictional story about this two people that were in a bomb explosion and they fell to the earth, and they started having a conversation on the way down. That's basically the satanic verses with Salman Rushdie. It says certain consequences flow because Islam sees itself as imposing a political order on the world. Notice, it makes enforceable law, including the law of blasphemy. In Pakistan, where Dr. Williams was speaking, Article 295B of the country's penal code makes it an offence punishable by life imprisonment to desecrate the Quran. That's within Pakistan's penal code now. Article 295C forbids any defiling of the name of Muhammad, and the penalty for this is death within the Pakistani penal code. So, you know, this culture then comes into somewhere like Australia and looks at the beaches of Australia, having been... I always remember, I travelled when I was fairly young, I was about 17, 18, I think I was, and I travelled through Europe and down and onto North Africa. My brother was teaching in Libya. This was at the time when King Idris was on the throne in Libya before Gaddafi came to power. And I travelled down through Europe, and I got on a boat in Naples, I think it was, and travelled down 3 days across Malta and Sicily, down to Tripoli. And in Tripoli, there was a girl on the boat with us who was German. And in Tripoli, if you look at the women in Tripoli all the way across the area, all you see is an eye. The whole rest of the body was covered with a bundle of sheets. And all you saw was this one eye looking out of this bundle of sheets. And yet here was the Western culture. Now, I just remember this specific girl from Germany. that came in there that had all her arms uncovered, you know, a low-cut dress, a short miniskirt on, and you could see the look on all of the men's faces when she landed in Tripoli. It was just total open-mouth disbelief. And this is the culture that comes from Pakistan going into Australia is the same kind of thing. You look at these the women on the Australian beaches, having come in a culture that is like that, that is Islamic, and it's total disbelief. He goes on, he says, the penalty for this is death, and it says, the other problem Dr. William raised, it goes into the rest of the article, however, is as real could be. There is no declared Muslim state which offers full civil rights to Christians. In Saudi Arabia, it's an offence to hold a Christian service in public. In Iran, the new president has said, quote, I want to stop Christianity in this country, unquote. And in the past month, a Protestant pastor has been murdered there because he himself converted from Islam and was converting others. All five schools of Islamic law agree that the penalty for conversion, otherwise known as apostasy, is death. Now, that's all five schools believe that. But you contrast that with what you've got in the West. And it says, most Western Christian leaders, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you see that Christianity spread, perhaps only survived at all because its disciples traveled to teach it and risked their lives doing so. Peter and Paul, St. Peter and St. Paul were both martyred in the persecution of Nero. How many people would have signed up to a faith if the two saints had instead professed themselves, quote, immensely encouraged by the protestations of a few Roman senators that all this crucifixion business was going a bit too far? You see, you contrast the way in which the understanding of the early churches with what it is today. And sailed back home to Judea. And it goes on, it says, the agenda, and in this case of the Anglican Church, this is very closely coordinated with the British government, is to try to placate. Sorry about the Crusades, sorry about George Bush, sorry, 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 they say, in the hope that Muslims will start to say sorry too. But where is the evidence of this preempting self-abasement is working? The grim fact is that the development of Christian-Muslim official dialogue has coincided with much greater Muslim persecution of the other faiths than 30 years ago. And it goes on, it says, these jaunts, he's talking about the Archbishop of Canterbury, remind me of peace delegations to the Soviet Union in the 1930s. They create a structure of unreality and leave millions of the victims of persecution where they were before the delegation arrived, frightened and alone. So I thought that was a reasonable comment to read, showing the difference between the Muslim ideals and the Western world. And when you consider, if you just want to turn with me in Scripture to Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel chapter 36, this clash of cultures, it's not just the clash of cultures. If you look at what Ezekiel 36 says, it says, moreover, in verse 16, the word of the Eternal came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own lands, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. You know, it was looking at something, you know, that you just really don't particularly want to talk about, a menstruating woman. Where, therefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols which they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed among the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, where they went, they profaned my holy name, which when they said to them, these are the people of the Eternal, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Eternal, I don't do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned in the midst of them. And the nations will know that I am the Eternal, says the Lord Eternal, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. So eventually God is going to call Israel back again. But what in fact has happened, and what we're looking at, is the world looking at Israel, looking at the Western culture, which has, let's face it, largely come from America and from Britain as a Western culture. And they're looking at this Western culture and the world, particularly the Muslim world, is, I mean, what are they actually seeing? Well, they see several things. Article from the 21st of this month, it says, keep the divine out of biology lessons, a federal judge rules. Totally against the Constitution, but nevertheless, and it goes in, it says, in the biggest courtroom clash on evolution for 80 years, a Pennsylvania judge yesterday ruled that schools cannot mention divine intervention in biology classes as an alternative to Darwinian evolution. Darwinian evolution is a religion. It is a belief in no God. It is therefore a religion, just as much as any other religion is. But that is a sanctioned, and God is then removed out of the picture. It says, another one here, Straw's sister in ritual dance. An Anglican dean last night defended the sister of Jack Straw, who is Home Secretary, isn't he? Foreign Secretary, after complaining about her spiritual dancing at his cathedral. And she was doing some kind of occult kind of dance of some description. Another one, Asda put sex toys on the shopping list. Asda is now selling sex toys. Asda is a big firm over here. Another one, cervical jab for the under-11s. Girls as young as 10 could be vaccinated against cervical cancer after trials on a new drug. Why? Because when they start actually having sex, you're going to have to inject them at 10 in order to catch that. Another one, drink involved in a third of rape cases. This is on the 21st of the 12th. A third of alleged rape victims have been drinking and many have unclear recollections. And it goes on and describes how quite basically the girls do not remember because they were under the influence of alcohol. Another thing, I just simply ringed around, it's just a picture of this come dancing. Now, come dancing has been a big thing over here. It's been kind of hitting the... it's strictly come dancing, yes. It's strictly come dancing. It's some kind of a competition where they kind of eliminate certain couples, and the couples learn. They're couples from other professions, and they learn how to dance the rumba or these suggestive South American dances. And it is. I mean, it's the old Oscar Wilde story that it's the vertical expression of a horizontal desire. And that literally is the kind of concept behind it. And again, remember, you're looking, Muslim eyes are looking at this and looking at the kind of dancing that is there. Then you go on to lesbians make history with the same first UK same-sex wedding. And this has been going on all the way through this week, that there is this kind of wedding... it's not wedding at all. It's, another one was stormy reception for the first lesbian, quote, marriage. This, I think, was over in Belfast, which, you know, has a semblance of religious fervour there still. But throughout this week, we've had things like a headline on the front of the page of the paper on the 22nd was Gay Pride or Unholy Alliance? With a picture of Elton John and his homosexual lover with him, who went through this, quote, wedding or whatever. It says, the most sweeping social reform for 40 years came to fruition yesterday when nearly 700 couples, including Elton John, Sir Elton John, notice, and David Furnish celebrated England's first gay weddings. To the delight of gay rights campaigners and dismay of many church leaders, homosexual couples tie the knot. And this is going on at this present time. And at the same time as that is happening, we see police warning author over gay comments. An author and broadcaster condemned as sinister yesterday an inquiry conducted by police over comments she made about homosexuals on a live radio program. This is from the 10th of this month. Lynette Burrows, an author on children's rights and a family campaigner, took part in the discussion in the Victoria Derbyshire show of Radio 5 Live about the new Civil Partnership Act. So this Partnership Act that's coming through. During the programme, she said that she could not believe that homosexuals should be allowed to adopt. She added that placing boys with two homosexuals for adoption was an obvious risk as placing a girl with two heterosexual men who offered themselves as parents. And wouldn't it be? If two heterosexual men said, oh, well, you know, that happened to just be living together, offered themselves as parents for a girl, is that not the same? It says, "It's a risk," she said, "you would not give a small girl to two men." And a member of the public then complained to the police, and an officer contacted Miss Burrows the following day to say that a homophobic incident, in quote, has been reported against her. "I was astounded," she said. "I was told this was a free country and we're allowed to express opinions on matters of public interest. And she told me it was not a crime, but that she had had to record these incidents and note them. They were leaning on me, letting me know that the police had an interest in my views. I think it's sinister and completely unacceptable." Scotland Yard confirmed last night that Fulham Police had investigated a complaint over a radio programme, and the spokesman said it was a policy for community safety units to investigate homophobic, racist and domestic incidents because these were priority crimes. You see, not only is it a case that we are hell-bent in this area and going in this direction, but we are actually squashing, I say we, they, are actually squashing any dissent. So until it becomes like Sodom was, where the majority and the normal, that this perversion is described as normal and looked upon as normal. And then you have the Muslim world looking in on this. And these two cultures completely and totally at odds. MP here faces jails over anti-gay comments. The MP who denies breaking the law protested in court that he did not say homosexuality was dangerous, but that it was inferior to heterosexuality and could, in extreme circumstances, become a danger to mankind. That was in France. I agree wholeheartedly and more so. Government rejects advisers' calls for primary sex lessons. And another one, stores prepare for gay marriages. They're selling cards and this kind of stuff. Car makers in the United States caught in a culture clash. Jaguar and Land Rover became the latest casualty in America's culture wars after they say they would stop advertising in the gay press, and they were then criticized for it and hounded. You know, you say a lie often enough and it will then become sounding like it's true. 6% of the British population is gay or lesbian, says Whitehall. Is it? But that's what they say. And this is it. Is it? It's lies. And again, you read in various accounts of what happened with the abortion issue. They deliberately lied. They deliberately massaged the statistics, saying I think it was something like 10,000 illegal abortions and so many, hundreds of people had died. In fact, the only ones that had been hospitalized or died from illegal abortions, or was it thousands of people had died, but the only ones that had died was something in 39, 31, something like that. It was in the 30s anyway. Now, at the same time as this is going on, and here we see this potential problem that is brewing, we also have Germany making inroads with the Muslim world. It says Germany releases Hezbollah hijacker. This is the 21st of December. It says a member of Hezbollah, who spent 19 years in a German prison for hijacking an airliner and killing an American Navy driver, had been secretly sent back to Lebanon. And a government spokesman in Berlin strenuously denied reports that Hamadi's release had anything to do with the release on Sunday of the German archaeologist Susan Oshoff, who was held hostage in Iraq for more than 3 weeks. It says the release of Hamadi is likely to anger Washington because he had requested the extradition, were he ever to be set free. So, again, there is an alignment that takes place. And if you do look over in Psalm 83, do be aware of this alignment that is mentioned over in Psalm 83. And we do need to keep this in mind as we watch this. Yes, the alignment is only temporary, but what it says in verse 1, it says, "Do not keep silent, O God, and do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God, for your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. The name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. The tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarines, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines and the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher, notice Asher or Assyria, is also joined with them, and they've helped the children of Lot. So there's some kind of a help that comes from Assyria, that comes from Germany, into this confederation that is against Israel. And there seems to be something that will occur. And at the same time, France is calling for £10 billion back from Britain on the EU debate. And the time is ripe to reviving the constitution, say Britain's EU partners. It says, Europe's federalist leaders yesterday celebrated the last days of Britain's EU presidency and announced that the time is ripe for reviving their most cherished project, the EU constitution. Now, remember, the EU constitution has been thrown out twice, in France in one case and in Holland in the other, and yet they're going to revive it. With Britain's presidency seen in Brussels as a time of miserable stagnation, expiring this month, the baton is already passing to the next holder, who is Austria. So we're looking at... And where is the Pope from? It's from Austria. So again, we need to watch that space. We need to watch what in fact is happening in Europe. And also be aware of this enormous difference between the ideas of the West and the decadence of the West and the way that they have perverted the very name of God, and also as far as the Muslim world and the way the Muslim world looks at the West and the contrast of the ideas. And something is going to come out of that. It looks like there's a confederacy there. It will in fact be helped by the Germans and the eventual ones who will then take over Israel, who will take over and will rule the British and American people and will be doing this right into the tribulation, will be Germany and the revived Europe. And they will be there and they will be ruling, and they will rule with a rod of iron in that sense. So we need to be, again, keeping these things in mind, understanding what is going on and making sure that as we read the news, we know how these things are to do. Destined to develop.